Good evening, and thank you for being here. I don't know if any of you were here Wednesday night, but those of you who drew the short straw Wednesday night, you're drawing the short straw again tonight. But I've had opportunity to speak two times here at the end of the year, and I feel very blessed for that. And I hope that the lesson tonight is worth your time, worthy of your time and your being here. It's a very opportune time, and of course you always want to pick a theme that kind of goes with the year. And I think Nathan did a good job this morning of helping us to be reminded that it's always a good time to renew and to think about things that we can do to be better people. I want to read a few things to you here, and this comes straight from our news media. And I want to ask the question when we get through reading it. Deputies search for a pregnant 26-year-old missing woman. Boy Scouts open ranks to gay youth January the 1st. West's first responders named Texans of the Year. Faith, father shoots and kills son. Pasadena ISD teacher accused of improper relationship with student. Identity theft victim forced to play detective. Syracuse rallies late for a 21-17 win over the Gophers. UHD proposal for gender-neutral restrooms causes controversy. Kentucky father arrested in Houston for outstanding warrants. Suspect identified in fatal Montgomery County shooting. Boston Marathon bombing survivor one step closer to walking again. Harris County constables crack down on drunk driving through the new year. My question is, does any of this sound like good news? Some of it might be good news. But the problem is, it would be easy to say for some of us, it would be easy for some of us to become cynical because of what we see and hear going on around us. It would be easy to want to isolate ourselves from the world and protect ourselves and our children and our grandchildren from everything that's going on outside the church. Worse yet, it would be fairly easy for us to get caught up in the cultural changes that seem to define character and morality of some instead of depending on God's Word to define those things about us. I find myself scratching my head and trying to be a prophet of sorts by relating all of the goings-on in the world to what I see happening historically in the Bible. It's not hard to make a parallel of what happened then to what happened now. They were falling away from God, following after false gods, committing idolatry, committing sexual misconduct of every kind, sacrificing their own children to false gods. They simply would not listen to God or to God's prophets. As a matter of fact, they many times beat and killed, or at least tried to kill, God's prophets and teachers, and we have record of that through the New Testament. Ultimately, through the death of the Son of God on the cross at the hands of defiant people who were, as we are, in need of everything God has to offer. So what then? Are we going to have to sit through some dismal account of how bad things are and how bad we are to get through this last sermon of the year? No, but I do want to try to help us all see that what's going on around us does not have to define who we are. Life is not about what happens to us or what happens all around us. It's about what we do as a result of what happens to us. In every age and through every prophesied punishment of a nation or nations, there have always been those who remained faithful to God, regardless of the circumstances they found themselves in. I don't think we talk enough about this today. I don't think we try hard enough to convince ourselves, our children and our grandchildren that are living for God, regardless of what is going on in the world around us, is what we are called to do. I don't think we convincingly tell our children that being in the world but not of the world is an imperative for us. We do not teach our children that living for God in every aspect of our lives is what God wants and expects, and that it is what He will reward. I fear that we do not communicate well that what God wants is our hearts. Not that living for God in every aspect of our lives is what will or does save us, but it does affirm our love for and commitment to Him, for His glory, to those who do not yet believe, and to those who do believe but are struggling. You see, our job, our part is to shine our light in the world where we live in such a way that those who have not found their path to obedience will at least have the opportunity to do that. You see, the problems the world is having are ageless and are driven by the same force that set them in motion in the Garden of Eden. They have changed places and changed faces, but have not changed in nature, and are still the voice of one who stands against God, the God of creation. The problem, folks, is sin. So let's get sin out of our own lives, and let's keep it out. Since we know we cannot be sinless, how do we do that? Well, we face sin head on and can only defeat it if we allow Christ to defeat it for us and with us. And we start by calling sin, sin. If it is against the will of God, if it is against God's law, if it doesn't bring glory to God or praise and honor to God, it's sin. What are the things in your life today that do not bring honor and glory to God? Is it a secret sin? Or is it lots of secret sins? Are you lying to yourself about sin in your own life and not dealing with it daily? Asking for God's help? Seeking the help of a good friend who can and will help you and pray for you and hold you accountable? Are you calling on the elders to help you and pray for you, asking for God's forgiveness and for the forgiveness of any and all whom you've offended and or possibly led astray? Are you repenting of sin in your own life? Are you really repenting, turning away from those sins and staying away from those things that draw you into sin? If not, then you need to do that and get the relief that only confession can bring and the healing that only repentance can bring. You see, things are only so bad in the world because unrepentant sin exists. It becomes acceptable to society, but that doesn't make it acceptable to God. Men try to rewrite or redefine what is wrong and what is right. But apart from the Word of God, they're making a huge mistake. God's truth cannot be changed. In this coming year, 2014, let's resolve to be a people of faith who act on our faith in everything we say and do and think. Let's rely on God for our salvation and our righteousness. Let's be the people of faith whom God has called and chosen to be His people. Let's reach those whom we can with the truly good news of what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's fear God and keep His commandments. The rest of my lesson tonight will be Scripture. I want to share some passages from God's Word that just occurred to me as a result of partly of our reading this year of the Bible, but that I think will help us gel some of the thoughts that I brought tonight. Romans 3, verses 23 to 24. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. James 5 and verse 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Malachi 3 and verse 16, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in His presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name. Joshua 24 and verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. 1 Samuel. Be sure to fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things He has done for you. And last, from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, maybe not last. Maybe next to last. Beginning in verse 1, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore we're always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but we are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, some say, it is for God. If we are in our mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled Himself to us through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world through Christ, to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts in your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Now, finally, Philippians 4, verses 18 through 20. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul's world was upside down. He spent much of the last part of his life in prison because he was willing to be God's person no matter what the world was doing. God sent his only Son to die on the cross for the remission of our sins and to reconcile us to himself. God's word is faithful and true. That is the good news. No matter what our circumstances, no matter how many times the world says that a lie is the truth, it is not and never will be. If you have any need to respond to the invitation, please do so while together we stand and sing.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight.